Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 767, and we're recording it on Thursday, January 8th, 2026. A show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm going to welcome Sally Draper into 2026. Happy New Year, Sally.
Happy New Year. Hard to believe we've landed in 2026 and we are kicking off our 19th year of podcasting.
Wow. 18 years.
In the rear view. Yep.
So that's like watching your little baby grow up into whatever we call 18-year-olds these days.
We love them anyway.
Hopefully we have progressed and we are past the teenage years. It's been, if you look back at episodes one through whatever, you kind of wonder, was technology even around back then? And it was. And some of the stuff is still the same. We spent a lot of more time talking about websites and stuff, but there's still all the same things, many of the same things, just different names. And it has moved forward, but hopefully we've moved forward with it. Do you feel 19?
No, I'm so young. 19 is the new one or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
in tech years. Yeah.
It's been a while and we've definitely seen some transformational things happen. I think if we had to rank things and over the years they all seem pretty amazing, but this past year in particular, just a huge jump in AI and that kind of dominated our conversations.
Big bump. And that's why we spent some time talking about it. There have been a few of those little things, social media, things that happened in that space and others, but this AI thing seems to really dominate our attention at this point. So, and that's why we're kind of spending time this season, talking about AI, but not today. Actually, I can't say we won't be talking about AI today at all, but we're going to be reflecting on 2025. So we kind of take a show a year, take a look back, pick our favorites of different categories, reminisce a little bit about what 2025 brought. And then as we move forward with episodes in the future, we have a bright new 2026 to address. But we do it by categories. And any overall impressions of 2025, Sally?
Yeah, I would say interesting year. It's always neat to look back, like just looking back at the different interviews we did during the year and the flavor of those. I think it was a good year and a year that's going to, be transformational. Like I said earlier, the AI thing definitely was the dominant thing.
One thing I noticed, maybe I noticed it earlier, but definitely in 2025, and you brought up the interviews and talking to some of the folks that we did, technology is mainstream. It's kind of part and parcel of ministry at this point. And when we started, it was kind of on the side. It was like, this technology thing, not sure where it fits. And now people kind of start there, and that's an interesting conversation to have now because people are doing things. They're innovating. They're doing things we never thought. We're not kind of the thought leaders anymore in any of these spaces. They're out there across the Synod, and those are great resources now that we're able to pick and choose from and bring to the show and interview and talk about ourselves and debate. That's kind of nice where we're recognizing technology is a tool God has provided and figure out, who and what and some of the things that make a difference and we want to share. So that's kind of transformed the show a little bit, don't you think?
I definitely agree. And Just one great example, if I can tip my hat and already talk about ministry resources, one person that we've talked to before on the podcast and who's done some just amazing work in this past year is definitely a standout year. Grace Ungmach, who's down in the Cincinnati area and does a weekly newsletter. She actually has the domain learn Lutheran.marketing, which I think is really clever, and I just am in awe. Each week when I get her newsletter at the insightful things that she's sharing, and what a blessing that is. You can subscribe to her newsletter for free, and I actually have a sample one just from this past week that I was like, I've got to figure out how this fits into the show because I really love the resource she shared this past week. It says your brand direction and template, and she's just helping you, like holding your hand through. These are the things you really need to be thinking about. And she's got this expertise. You can certainly contact her and get additional information from her. But she actually shared a Canva template that she created with different areas, things to think about regarding copywriting, your personality and tone, your brand dictionary, your objection resolution, calls to action, different things you want to record around your colors and your caricature to your community. What is it? Who do you want to be as you represent your church or school? And then just different community reminders and contact information. So really core information here, but I guarantee you 18 years ago we weren't thinking this way or filling in these kind of blanks. So having that kind of expertise in the community has just, raised everyone's abilities and standards.
Yeah, you did tip your hat, but that's a nice segue because one of the first things that I thought of when we went to kind of this retrospective of 2025 is in an event that Grace was at back in was it February
I believe it was.
in Doral, Florida. We got a bunch of people together, 30 some odd people, for a Wells Tech AI. We called it a summit. And our intent, and you were there, I was there. The intent of that get together, that 2.5 days we spent together, was just to explore AI and ministry, not with a real tight agenda, but just kind of ask some general questions, had some presentations, some thought-provoking conversations, and came out of that, I think, with kind of an energy around. A desire to make use of what AI is, and obviously with a eye toward what AI isn't, came out of that as well. But just some very smart people, and I had a great time, and I think the results were as expected. I think some great things to think about, and hopefully we'll kind of lay some groundwork for. Our AI work and thinking in the future.
Out of that came an AI task force that you're meeting with, Martin, and we talked about that some on the show during the year as different policy directions and things like that are rolling out,
Ethical frameworks and
surveys and
use cases, surveys, hopefully a list of subject matter expertise that can be shared and different platforms for sharing. Yeah, hopefully that's a good thing. I think one of the things as I approached that summit in the back of my head was we need to get more out ahead of this thing than we were for social media, because I think we were looking at social media in the rearview mirror before we finally recognized that, there is ministry usefulness here and we ought to be providing some guidance and resources. But I think we were pretty late to the game. And maybe we're a little late here, even in AI world, but it's still early days, in my opinion. And I think we're a little bit in a better place than we were with social media.
So we can expect to hear more from your task force, I'm guessing,
We
in the
can.
future.
We meet every month, And we have a meeting next Sunday, I believe, a week from Sunday, to discuss an ethical framework. I've referenced that on the show before, but just basically some guiding principles about how you and your ministry, whether that's a teaching or preaching ministry or administrative ministry, how you should be thinking about AI from an ethical perspective. What kinds of questions should you ask? Is there risk in certain uses of AI? So we're looking forward to getting that out there for public consumption and reaction, and evolve it as necessary. So looking forward to what the committee has to say there, or the task force has to say.
Excellent.
Sally, you talked about ministry resources. That's a segment on our show where we try and find something. Hopefully, we're trying to find useful stuff from bumper to tip, of the whole show. But the point of a ministry resource is that it's kind of a useful tool that somebody could implement, use, start, in their whatever ministry. And you mentioned Grace's newsletter and the most recent one, but she publishes this on a regular basis, and I've been impressed as well too, because it's, one thing I like about it is it's very straightforward. It's more bullet pointy. It's not a 3-page newsletter you really have to read and digest and think about, or run through AI to help you summarize it. She kind of does that for you with nice, relevant links and useful tools and information.
Yeah, definitely. And we've talked to her in the past. She, like I said, offers her services, but also has other people in her network that can assist in different ways. She has the ability to connect you with people that are willing to work on social media or marketing or whatever needs in that kind of space that your church may have. So just a lot of neat things going on there with Grace, and the newsletter is a real gem, something I look forward to each week.
It's also kind of a model, I think, that congregations and schools could use for what a newsletter format could be, although the content would be very different for your church or school. But that seems to kind of hit, at least for me, a sweet spot for the right amount of useful information in the right chunks, rather than a 20-page, book that maybe a congregation would be used to printing monthly with all the things. This is very focused. The typography is nice. It's a pleasing experience, and I think in the short attention span days that we live, I think that's more and more important. You can't just put words on paper. There needs to be a presentation. And this is a good example of that. And she actually talks about that, in some of the tips and tricks that she provides too, the importance of that with typography and layout and white space, and all those things are important. And not something, that should be an afterthought. But you need some resources and some attention and prioritization to that. So I'm with you. I think that's a great ministry resource, and for a bunch of different reasons. My ministry resource actually is a upcoming conference. In a couple weeks, we're going to have the Wells National Conference on Lutheran Leadership down in Chicago at the Hilton. I have a session there. We've interviewed a number of people that are presenting there as well. I'm just looking forward to one of the neat things about a conference is, at least if you are in a position like mine where you have a platform, here is where I hear from real people, frontline ministry workers, and their use of, in my case, technology, but just other ministry resources. And The Congregational Services Group has done a fantastic job, and the conference committee, in putting together some keynote speakers and a bunch of sessions that seem super relevant. And I'm looking forward to attending and also talking with all the folks there. They reached capacity a while back. They probably have more people than they can fit in, the main room. They're hoping that people don't mind standing in the back. So that's a good problem to have. But I'm sure following that, there'll be other resources that'll come out of it that we'll be able to share. But that is an awesome ministry resource, and hopefully you've signed up to go, and I will see you there. So please tell me that you are there and that you enjoyed maybe some of the interviews we had going in, because we did interview a number of the presenters there too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the takeaways after. Not able to attend in person myself, but I remember last year that they shared a lot of videos of the keynote speakers and things like that. So always good stuff and plenty to learn from that.
Yep. All right. The next semi-regular segment that we have on the show that we wanted to highlight are our thoughts from 2025 are the interviews. We've referenced them a number of times. Sally, you looked through the number of interviews we did over 2025. Any of them stand out to you?
Yes, they do. I guess I should at least make mention that there is a compilation page, and we'll link to that in the show notes as well. So if you're interested in the variety of interviews that we had throughout the year, it was everything from Smarty Pants AI all the way through Christmas conversations with Melanie and all in between. And I really had a hard time picking, Martin. There were some really good interviews. Stand out for me, Alicia Cameron talking about listening to your flock. Happens to be your daughter, Martin, and she's very gifted in the area of form creation and surveying, and kind of walked us through some really key components as if you're working on surveys and why you would want a survey and why you would not want a survey depending on the circumstances. I also thought Pastor Clark Schultz and his information about welcoming people to their congregation and how they manage a very large congregation and contact information, who's in attendance, that kind of thing. They actually have an electronic system in place that prints out a name tag for each person as they enter the church. So if you haven't listened to that one, definitely tune in for Pastor Schultz's interview. And there were many other great ones in the mix as well. But the one that I settled on was a little bit different. It's an arts interview. It's with our friend Lori Elke, who's in the La Crosse area and is an art educator. I believe she's at Luther High School this year doing art. But one thing she's done over the years, and I think it kind of was born out of the COVID time period when she was trying to keep her own children busy at home and decided it was something they could share, is basically art projects that she's worked on and tutorials on those. And she's turned into kind of a YouTube star, we called it. She has over 11,000 subscribers and over 500 videos out there. And they are super fun and easy to follow and just inspirational, you know, for her success in that space. But also she gives you some very key things that she did consistently over time to build up that kind of library and that kind of follower base. So we have links there to her YouTube channel and her Facebook and things like that. I follow her on Facebook, and I'm always excited to see new art projects she's revealing on Facebook. She's very gifted, and much of her art is Christian focused. And so if you're looking for things, even projects to do in your Christian day school, Lori's got step-by-step, you know, simple projects for children to do all the way through to more elaborate things. And so definitely check out elkeart.com and give a listen to our interview with Lori if you haven't heard it or you haven't listened to it recently.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites too. I think she brings a lot of knowledge and passion to that important area of ministry, and she's making it available, which is awesome. Very professionally done, and she enjoys doing it. So, My interview pick was another lovely lady, Dr. Christy Meyer from Wisconsin Lutheran College. We labeled the show Comms and Cardigans. She shared with us, and she's going to be at the Lutheran Leadership Conference. So I'm looking forward. Hopefully, I can get over to her talk, talking about church communications. She's sharing time with Pastor Kyle Bitter, and they're presenting. And she talked with us about the importance of church communications and the do's and don'ts, and some really practical, but also some innovative ways to make sure that you are on message and that you're talking about the right things, and that you maybe have a dedicated group, a communications committee that is paying attention to the things that need to be paid attention to. And she was very practical and has a wealth of experience, and what a blessing she'll be to the leadership conference. But she was good enough to spend some time with us. And if you haven't listened to that interview, I think that's worthwhile too. That would be episode 761, to listen to Christy talk about her experience with church communications, both good and bad. And then some advice as you're seeking to make sure the word gets out. Super, super important that you pay attention to that. So that'd be one of my highlights as well. I liked all the interviews. Our interview with
To
Nate
do.
Siles created a little controversy. I like a little to stir it up a little bit too. So talked about music ministry and AI, how AI can help you. Lots of differing opinions on that. So yeah, that's a nice broad cross section of people that
For
we
sure.
talk to. So it's a neat segment
And
in our show.
I guess it's worth pointing out. One of the neat things I see is these people with these various gifts, excelling in their particular areas. But both Dr. Christy Meyer and your daughter, Alicia Cameron, serve on the Wells Women's Ministry, I don't know, leadership board or whatever. And so they're using their gifts for women's ministry as well. Alicia bringing her surveying and data analyst kind of gifts, and Dr. Meyer bringing her communication skills to the women's ministry team. So, what a blessing to see these things happening in our church body and God gifting us with these talented people.
Alicia just told me the other day that she's leading. I don't know if this is with Christy or with the other members of the executive committee there, but a women's Bible study during the leadership conference. I think
Oh, that's
one
awesome.
early morning they're getting the ladies together for a Bible study there. So if you're
People
not
really enjoy
if you are a
that.
lady and you are at the leadership conference and you haven't heard about that, maybe you want to ask around.
Awesome.
All right, let's move on to maybe the section we spend the most time. I don't know if we spend the most time thinking about it, but I think we wring our hands a little bit more about this segment because we pick our top three tips or picks of the year. And we do this in reverse order and ladies first. So, Sally, your number three favorite pick of 2025.
Wow, I think these are all number one picks for me, actually.
Okay.
I had a hard time ranking
Hedging
them.
already.
But yeah, I have to include something AI focused because of how amazing it is that we have these tools and the things they can do for us. And my AI pick in the mix, number three on the list, is Notebook LM. I'm actually sharing my screen if you're watching the video, because I gave Notebook LM our entire 2025 list of podcasts for it to listen to in a microsecond and give me a summary. And it did. I'll just read a little brief paragraph. The provided text outlines several episodes of Wells Tech, a podcast dedicated to exploring the intersection of technology and ministry within the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. These episodes highlight modern advances such as artificial intelligence, focusing specifically on its role in creating educational resources, enhancing church communication, and establishing academic integrity policies. Beyond AI, the sources detail practical ministry tools, including cybersecurity training, digital church planning, and the development of new religion curriculum. Listeners are also encouraged to participate in community activities like crowdsourced coloring books and professional conferences. Overall, the content serves as a comprehensive guide for faith-based organizations looking to integrate digital innovation into their outreach and administrative efforts. I thought that was a pretty good summary of 2025 from Notebook LM. So what is
Good
Notebook
job.
LM? It's a Google tool, and what's exciting about it is it's not using any large language model that certain people have developed or whatever. It only uses the resources that you feed to it. So it's like a walled garden kind of AI where you can give it the things you're researching or the episodes of Wells Tech, whatever it may be. And then if you see my screen over on the right side, it gives you different things that you can do with that information. You can do audio overviews, which turn out to be a little podcast, basically, very conversationally done with a couple of different people talking through the things that you fed it. And they've added this year video overviews, and they also have slide decks in beta where it'll take the things you've done and create a video, which is kind of driven by a slide deck, basically, but it'll create its own graphics and things to go along with the video as it discusses the resources you've given it. Other things, mind maps, reports, flashcards, and quizzes. I was curious about infographics, which is in beta as well, and asked it to do an infographic, and it gave me a really snazzy one. I'll have to throw this in the show notes for
Look at
this
that.
episode.
Love it.
Tech trends for ministry highlights from the Wells Tech podcast. Exploring practical applications of AI and digital resources for churches and schools. They did manage to mention Notebook LM a couple of times in the infographic, full disclosure. But yeah, they've got AI-powered creativity for community engagement, where they're talking about the coloring book contest we came up with, strengthening cybersecurity for churches and schools, modernizing church communication, and then, focusing on AI ethics and practical use cases. So, in about 2 minutes, I think, is how long it took to comprehend the 26 podcast we did in 2025 and come up with this infographic, very professional looking and everything. They also will summarize things in text format. You can ask it questions, chat with it. I asked it, let's see, I think I asked it to summarize all of the interviews that we did. And it went interview by interview and gave me bulleted list of the things that we discussed with each of the people we interviewed, and links and things are embedded there so that you can go and look deeper into it. Just a really impressive tool to be able to condense and summarize and draw meaning from a body of work that you give it. And you can give it just about anything. Let's see. You can upload resources from your local drive or whatever, everything from PDFs to audio files, images. The
Oh,
list is
they accept
pretty.
Word docs now. That's great because they never used to. That's awesome.
Oh,
So
okay.
I had to save them as PDFs. That's great.
You can give it a Google Drive area. You can give it links to websites or to YouTube videos, and you can just paste in text. And it looks like there's a limit of 50 items. I just got the URL for all of our 2025 podcast. So even though there were 26 of them in that list, it counts that only as one item. So I still have 49 more to go if I want to add more to what it analyzes about Wells Tech in 2025. So very versatile, and we've seen some really great results. I believe one of our shows with Jason and Rachel was pretty dedicated to looking at all the capabilities here. And so, yeah, that's my one of my picks of the year.
A lot of ministry uses here. I think maybe we mentioned it when we talked about it on the show, but looking forward to using this for church annual reporting. I'm the president of our congregation, and I get reports from every area each month. And then I write a report and then, yeah, write newsletter articles, those kinds of things. I would think, I have not tried this yet, but I'm looking forward to trying it. So throw all that into Notebook LM, have it write a report, but I'm really interested in the infographic part is, what would it come up with for our church work, over a particular time period? That might be very, very interesting to share, and maybe something that congregation members would actually look at and read versus, an annual report. So we'll see.
That's a great
Good
idea.
pick. I love it. All right, my number three pick is actually a fairly pedestrian pick, so to speak. It's a phone case that I have been using for a long time, just kind of a general group of cases made by a company called Pitaka, Pitaka. The one that I currently have on my phone, I've had for 2 years. And it is, what's neat about these cases is I don't like big, bulky cases because, the phone is already heavy enough. You want something that doesn't add any weight or not much weight, but still provide some protection. And the phone itself needs some protection, so I do feel the need for a case, but I want it to be as light as possible. And these Pitaka cases are made of aramid fiber, and they kind of, if you go on the site, they'll talk about what that means. But it's basically a very light, durable material, and they've got nice colors, a lot of kind of earth tones, those kinds of things. And they've actually expanded their brand recently with some flashier colors too, if you're into that. But I've used, this is the phone that I've got in my hand here, if you're watching at home. It's an iPhone, 2 years old, and this case has been on it the entire time, and basically the case looks brand new, except for the dings on all four corners where I've dropped it. There's a little bit of a scuff, on the case, but it did protect the phone. And so even though it's very thin and light, it still does offer nice protection. So they're not super duper expensive, but they're not the cheapest ones on the block either. So they're kind of, I'd call them middle of the road. But highly recommend the Pitaka. And they make cases not just for iPhones, but for others as well. And they have kind of matching accessories. So if you're looking for like wallets and things you can put batteries in, those kinds of things, they have all those on their website as well. So that's my number three pick, Pitaka.
That's so funny. My phone is 6 years old and it's had a llama on it the whole time.
Look at
So
that.
no Pitaka here, but maybe I'll do that for my
A
next phone.
6-year-old phone, that
I
is a
know.
dinosaur.
The latest update just really seemed to do it in. I'm getting a lot of lag just with this iOS 18 that just came out. So Kevin just said, "How old is your phone?" And so maybe it's time. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you might be refreshing your llama there too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting, once in
Maybe
a
there's a
while,
Pitaka
switch it up.
Llama.
Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt
All
it.
right, what's number two, Sally, for you?
Number two for me, again, is somewhat of an artsy pick. And I remember saying this, adding this pick at the beginning of the year. It's a song in the new hymnal called Christ Begins, written by Professor Luke Thompson at Martin Luther College. And we did it, I want to say during Epiphany, pretty consistently last year. And I think just kind of as an effort to get us more oriented to it, we sang it each Sunday during Epiphany last year. And so it just worked its way into my heart. It covers the life of Christ and the work of Christ, and it is just very well done. And so I will definitely have a link in the show notes to a lyric video of the song, which was done at Mount Lebanon several years ago. And I encourage you to listen and let it work on your heart as well, because it's a beautiful hymn. And kudos to Professor Thompson for such a lovely addition to our new hymnal since 2021.
Interesting, interesting pick. I don't know if we've ever picked a hymn before.
I know, but it deserves
That's awesome. Okay.
it.
My number two pick is a product, computer program, so to speak, called WhisperFlow. And you have to spell it a little bit differently, WhisperFlow. And it is simply a thing that you install on your computer, or you can put it on a tablet or an iPhone or Android phone. And it essentially listens when you prompt it, hit the right key combinations, and it takes your words and puts them into text. So it is a text, or it's a speech to text application. There have been these around for a long, long time. Drag and dictate,
That's what
and
I
you know,
was thinking of.
some of those are have been around for a long, long time. This is a little bit different because they mixed in a little AI magic to this. So it doesn't, it kind of infers sometimes what you're trying to say. So not only will it remove the ums and ohs or the uhs, but it will take and make sense of some of your just disjointed or grammatically incorrect dictations, which is kind of nice. And it doesn't overdo it, and you can train it over time. So, for instance, on my Windows laptop, all I do is hit the Control Windows key and start talking, and it just picks up whatever you're saying through whatever microphone you want it to pick up. Whether that's the built-in microphone or whether you've got a separate microphone. And then you lift your fingers from the keyboard and it stops and it immediately copies what you said and works its little AI magic onto the clipboard. And you just let it paste it into whatever email or Word doc or whatever it is that you are trying to populate. So I use this mostly with email, but it has other use cases as well. But I think the thing that a lot of people didn't really like about like a drag and dictate is, you know, it's rigid, you know, word for word, and you couldn't think maybe fast enough to create a meaningful dialogue or sentence. But WhisperFlow, you'd have to try it and see what the difference is between the old way and this way. It really does kind of a nice job of polishing what you're writing and or what you're saying and putting that in written word. So there's a free version. You get up to, I don't know, I think it's 2,000 words, 2,000 words a week. So that's enough to get it started. It has kind of the basic features, like it has, I think, a dictionary in it and snippets. So if you use a vernacular like Wells, a typical old school dictation tool would spell that Wells. You can train this one to say, well, whenever I say Wells, that's Wells, and it's all capitalized. It sports lots of different languages. It is just super accurate. It hears every word, so it's not missing stuff. And it, like I say, it kind of cleans things up nicely for you. So you have very little editing you have to do on the once it publishes your stuff. So WhisperFlow, there is, I believe, a student version or a student discount. I think it's there it is, half off. Maybe there's a nonprofit as well. I don't remember, but for 12 bucks, no, what is, I think there's a pro version and yeah, Flow
12 if you
Pro,
pay
$12.
annually.
Yeah, $12 per user per month if you pay annually. So you'd have to kind of determine whether that's worth it or not, or whether you use it for more than 2,000 words a month. But It is kind of a game changer when you are you when you want to use this kind of thing and don't want to pound that keyboard. And I think this does a nice job.
Just taking out my ums would be like a full-time job for any AI, I
Right?
think. But yeah, it says it's 4 times faster than typing, and it's probably about 8 times faster than my typing and spells things correctly. So wow, win, win, win.
Give it a try. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sally, it's number one for you.
Number one. Again, they're all number one in my heart, but I will say that this year's number one for me happened early in the year when we announced that Wells has a new call report format. So this is
The
a
beloved call report.
project near and dear to my heart, and the call report is accessed by many, many people throughout our Senate, just following who has what calls to where and who's accepted and things like that. So you can easily jump to different sections of the call report, whereas before you just had to do kind of the scroll forever to find the different sections. You can see who's accepted or who hasn't. Jump back to the top easily. Up here we have a archive of all the historic call reports and also a page where you can go and get a summary for a particular time period. So if you want to see everything accepted in the last quarter, for instance, you can control the time period here. And you can focus just on a particular type of worker. So if you just want to see the staff minister listings, you can do that. Just all kinds of great information included in the call report, and now just super easy to navigate and search, trying to find something, you know, that's current, and your pastor's one of that you've called is one of, you know, 50 on the call report. You can just type their name up in the search area and jump to wherever they are. Just makes it really super easy. It's mobile friendly, and PDF download versions are available and everything. So it was definitely bringing the call report into the 21st century when we made the jump to this new call report. So something I'm excited about, and I know many of our call report readers were happy to see happen.
Mobile friendly as well. So if you prefer a phone version, it is equally as useful. So thanks to you, Sally, and the other members of the software services team that were a part of making that thing happen, as well as our product owners, in the president's office and elsewhere, that helped us kind of refine that to be what it is today. So cool.
Right. And major shout out to Communication Services, who communicates all this great information and has had much to do with the layout and design as well.
Cool. All right, my number one is another hardware pick, and it actually wasn't even my pick. Jason Schmidt, who's a regular on the show, picked this, but I had the same product, and it is the Plaud Pro AI Note Taker. And what it is a credit card size device with microphones and smarts baked into it. Rechargeable. If you're looking at how I'm holding it up, it basically fits in your wallet. It essentially you put it down in the center of the table and it records what everybody is saying and then works its magic and produces notes, action items, tasks, things to consider. It does an amazing job. And I use it specifically for in-person meetings. We use other tools for like our video conferencing, and Copilot does a nice job there. But this works a little bit better, in my opinion, for in-person meetings. So you just press the button, it listens, and then when you're done with the meeting, you press the button again, and about 5 minutes later, it processes all the stuff and then sends you. You can get the full recording, but what's most interesting is the summary and the task list or the action items. There are a couple of different versions of this at different price points. Plaid Note Pro, Plaid Note, and there's even a pen that you can, a pin that you can wear. But if you are in the business of going to meetings, and especially if you're in the business of going to meetings where you need to take notes, this could replace that note-taking activity. It identifies speakers, interestingly. It will, in its initial run, it'll label people as speaker one, speaker two, speaker three. But you can change that. So what I would do immediately after getting the transcript back is edit the speaker one to whoever the speaker was, speaker two to whoever the speaker was. And usually by that point, if you're reviewing the notes pretty quickly, you know who said what. But kind of a neat thing, and I haven't tested it enough to know how good this is, but my initial impressions were positive, is it will remember from meeting to meeting that voice and actually assign or suggest that, hey, this was Mike Smith and this was June Jones. And so you've got a smart note taker that now remembers, that does voice recognition as well. So
That's
there are
cool.
different things that you can do with this. You can add with your, if you pair it with, you have to pair it with your phone, but you can take pictures of different things. Let's say you're doing some whiteboarding work within the midst of the meeting, and you can use the app to take a picture of the whiteboard. It'll insert that into the notes that it provides. It is, there is a subscription that gives you more capacity, but I found that the free version does everything that I needed to do too. I mean, you pay for the device itself, but indispensable, I think, at this point for somebody who is in a lot of meetings and needs to take accurate notes. So one of the challenges with meetings, I find, and this really kind of solves it, is account, well, not totally solves it, but certainly helps, is accountability. What did we say at the meeting? Who was going to do what by when? And to write all that down and make sure that that's shared as quickly after the meeting as possible is a big step in the direction of a more useful, productive experience, meeting experience. And this helps you do that. So that was my number one pick for 20. Well, actually, it wasn't my pick, but I'm making it my pick for 2025. And that's Plaud, Plaud. The website is plaud.ai.
You know, Martin, you reminded me that maybe we should ditch this whole top picks of the year and just talk about how blessed we are to have Jason Schmidt and Rachel Reno
Right?
join us
Yeah.
and make them our picks of
They're
the
our
year.
pick of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. They are educators and are willing to be on the show, I think typically about six times a year during the school year, and bringing to the forefront a lot of amazing educational insights. So, hats off to Rachel and Jason, and
Right. Not an
thanks
insignificant
for
ask, and they do a lot more than that even too. So,
absolutely.
yeah,
They
so.
major contributors,
Yep.
including Martin's number one pick. So, go figure.
Yeah. And while we're thanking people, we got to thank Sally Draper for her diligence in keeping everything running. She does a majority of the work for this show, if you probably hadn't already guessed. She maintains the website. She puts together these compilations that we've been talking about. She does an awesome job. Thank you, Sally, for your work in 2025.
And Martin Spriggs, thanks to you for all the amazing production work that you do. So he's my audiovisual guy. I'm counting on him every week to bring the goods and, knock on wood, not make us have to record a second time. So
We haven't, we did not do that in 2025. So
thank
that's a win right
goodness.
there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, next year, which is already this year, 2026, we are going to move forward. We'll continue our AI-focused topics on the show, and stay tuned for some interesting interviews. I don't know who they all will be, but it will become apparent that they were useful and doing some awesome things in ministry that you're going to want to pay attention to. So we should probably thank our audience, Sally, because without them, this show would not exist. And we thank you guys for tuning in, for contributing to the show. That's awesome, that those of you that do that. But your ears are a contribution enough as well. So thanks for the time you spend with us. You have a lot of choices with your time, and you choose to spend a little time with us. We really appreciate that. So hope to spend some more time with you in 2026. That's it for now. We will talk to you next episode. Bye-bye.